Thanks for joining me. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Abe Saffer. I live in Lyttonsville, right on the mouth of the Capitol Crescent Trail.
And you have actually worked with Silver Spring in the past in terms of putting forth some contributions, yeah?
Yeah, I've been involved state and locally. Politically, I've run a number of campaigns in and around the area, and when I moved to Lyttonsville about 18 months ago, I started getting involved in their sector plan development process that they've been undergoing and are still undergoing, and so working on the vision of what Lyttonsville can be in the next 20, 30 years.
And I feel like you know a bunch about the history of Lyttonsville.
Yeah, when I moved there, I had no idea. I literally moved there because my wife and I, who have a 3-year-old son, we knew that it was in the Bethesda Chevy Chase High School cluster, so that eventually our son would go up to there, which is one of, it's a nationally recognized high school. It's one of the best in the nation. So when we had the opportunity to, frankly, afford to buy a house in an area that was in that cluster, we jumped on it. Since moving there, I've discovered just some absolutely phenomenal historical things about it, and some as well as some current things about it. It was founded in 1853 by a freed slave named Martin Lytton, and some of the things, and this is all history according to me, so it could be definitely needs to be fact-checked, but from what I've been told, they didn't have paved roads or any sewers there until like the 60s and maybe even like the late 60s, maybe even the 70s. So it's kind of a behind all the rest of the county in terms of development, at least historically it has been. Politically, which is my realm, it's interesting because the area is weirdly in Council District 5, which is represented by Tom Hooker, and that district covers pretty much all of the East County parts of the area, from frankly where I live all the way to Prince George's County and then north up to like Burtonsville area. But Silver Spring in general is covered mostly by state District 20 and little part of District 14. I live in, there's only five voting centers that are in District 18, but also in Council District 5. So we can be left out of both political processes if we're not vocal more. And so we're lucky that we have two community associations that have absolutely amazing leadership and have really kept people engaged, and then just a lot of other wonderful, amazing people in the area who have really worked to keep the community up to date on what's going on and making sure that we're not forgotten. And I'm lucky enough to live across the street from Charlotte Caulfield, who, she's not on Twitter or Facebook. She is a prolific email writer, but if you haven't met her, she is absolutely amazing. If you've ever gone to the Gwendolyn Caulfield Center, it's her sister, I think. It's her sister. And her sister used to own these two houses right across the street from us, as well as this entire, at least her family, this entire like cul-de-sac with five houses on it. And at some point they sold it off to the county, and they each got a plot of land, and her sister, I think, has since passed. And then they turned what was essentially her backyard into this development of five houses called the America Way of the Americas or something. It's this wonderful little, and so she has this little house right across the street from us that is beautifully well tended. I'm always trying to keep up with her, but she also just is on top of absolutely everything politically and socially going on.
Okay. The part about the district lines was pretty confusing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, it sounds like the district lines at the county level don't match up very well with the district lines for the state.
Yeah, and that's, I think that we are well represented It's just a simple math situation. There's 8 state districts, and there's only 5 council districts. So there's going to be some overlap, obviously. And when they redid redistricting, I think they worked to try to keep all of Silver Spring in District 5, which I was very happy to hear. And with District 18, the legislative district of the state, when they redid redistricting, after the last census, they just worked to make sure that it was proportional to the rest of the state. So we lost a little. The district lost some area and gained some area, and they worked to try to make sure that all of like Chevy Chase was in the same district, or all of Kensington, or all of different little parts of, I think, Garrett Park as well. They wanted to make sure we're in the district. So that's kind of how that happened.
Mm-hmm. And so you're involved with the sector plan. Can you talk, can you just explain what the sector plan is?
No. I'm learning as I go, just because I've never had to experience it. But this is what I've been told. This is what I've kind of gleaned. So when areas go through change, and they want to make sure that the county has sort of a vision of how every community is going to grow, and every area in the county, as far as I know, has a sector plan. They're usually very small geographically. So our sector plan, which is the Greater Littlesville Sector Plan, covers Littlesville, Rosemary Hills, and then Summit Hills, the apartment complex, and then as well as just a few of the businesses on 16th, right before the speed camera that everyone slows down on, right before the hill.
At Spring Center.
Yeah, thank you. And then it goes a little more west of Littlesville, but not very. And then East-West Highway is pretty much the border. And then it covers also Brookville Road, which is, still Silver Spring and has a lot of commercial, but it's, there's some retail, but it's a lot of commercial, contractors and construction and home improvement. There's a lot of these warehouses areas over there.
Fairly industrial.
Yeah. And that's where the Littlesville station is going to go for the Purple Line. So all that is taken in, and what the planning board is doing right now is we're developing a sector plan to essentially have a lot of community buy-in, an enormous amount of community input. What do we want the community to look like in 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Everything from, do we want more sidewalks? Do we want better parks? Do we want density to increase by tenfold? Or do we want the amount of people in the area to stay pretty much level? There was studies done on retail. There were studies done on everything from how much water tables were still there underground, and how we could have more porous, non-porous surfaces, so that water could actually drain back into the ground, so that it's easier for things to grow. They did a lot of these workshops at the Caulfield Center, which is right in the center of it, to get as much information from the community on what they want their community to look like in 10, 15, 20 years. From what I'm told with the sector plan, and I'm not an expert, is that the sector plan is not the recipe. It's not the plan on what's going to happen. That if we say we're going to increase density or rezone an area to be able to have an apartment building, that's not saying that necessarily an apartment building will go there. It's just that as developers come in and say, we want to increase the size of our apartment building from 200 units to 400 units, then the planning board can kind of look back at this sector plan that was developed and approved, and it has to be approved by the planning board and the county council, and say, well, that's fine. According to the sector plan, going from 200 to 400 is what the community seemed to want, and this can be 5-10 years in the future. Conversely, they can say, well, we had only approved it going up to 150, so if you want to do that, that's acceptable, but we can't really we can't allow you to go up to 400 or 200 more. So it's guidelines on what the community will look like in the future, and then, but it's not saying that's how the community will look like in the future. It's not set in stone that.
It's just guidelines.
Yeah.
What is it sounds like there's been several workshops at this point, and is that the main way that the county is reaching out to the residents and business owners in that area?
Yeah. It's not the. I wouldn't say that it's the main way. That's the first way.
Okay.
So initially, what they do is they will come in and do an assessment of the area, try to figure out where they expect density to be 20 years from now, how it compares to the rest of the county. You know, if there's going to be a major development like a Purple Line station coming in, what the current zoning laws are, if they should be changed, and then they'll come up with. They'll go out into the community and have a couple working sessions where the one that I went to, one of the first ones I went to was the room was surrounded by different stations. One had to deal with environment, one had to deal with roads, one dealt with density, and then just so on down the list. There's like 10 stations, and you just went in, and the planner that was responsible for that aspect would be able to answer questions for you and you'd make comments. You'd say, I don't want this street to be here because of these reasons, and they'll take it into, you know, under advisement. Then what they do is they go and they have they develop a draft plan, and they present it to the community, and again you get comments there, and you'll say, well, you've proposed putting a street here that would increase traffic down this road that, you know, is not desirable, and if you know enough people, and if it's agreed on, it can be taken out of the draft plan. And then we're kind of in that process right now where we're going back and forth with the planners. They're having public meetings. We are having one coming up very soon. I don't know if it's been scheduled yet, but it had to be rescheduled from previously. But once they've gotten, and they've been wonderful because they've also had open office hours kind of in the community center. They've had breakfast where they provide a hot breakfast right on Brookville Road or in different areas where they're just asking for input and as much information as they can. And they take all of that and with what they feel the community wants, with what they feel the community should have, what they feel the community can withstand, and everything in between, they develop this, you know, final plan, which they present to the community as well as to the actual planning board. And at that point, when the planning board is considering it, they can change it however they see fit. Mm-hmm. People can testify however they want to, whether they're doing it on behalf of, you know, if they're a civic association president, they can do it on behalf of their civic association, or they can just do it on behalf of their own family and their own house. The planning board then votes and it goes to the county council. Testimony happens again and they can change it however they want. And then it's voted on again. So, I mean, there's a lot of steps between, you know, even where we are now, which is a year into the process, versus where it'll end up as the final plan.
And when is that anticipated?
I originally had heard March of 2016 or even April, but I'm thinking that's probably optimistic at this point. It'll probably get pushed back several months. But, so I'm thinking maybe July, but at this point, I don't really have any idea.
What is the turnout like been at the workshops you've attended?
Oh, it's been incredible. The people of Littonsville are really, and I'm going to make a distinction when I say Littonsville. It's called the Greater Littonsville Sector Plan, and I'm only saying Littonsville just because that's where I happen to live. But it includes Rosemary Hills. It also includes the other areas in the. Under the sector plan, there's three communities, as well as Summit Hills, the department, and all the commercial. But Littonsville is how I refer to it, just 'cause that's where I live.
Sure.
But it's a really politically active and very diverse community that is very concerned about a number of different things. And so every time we've had meetings, and not just meetings that the planning board and staff have convened, but we've had internal meetings where We've had several members, the Civic Association presidents, and a couple other very active citizens have actually just reserved the Caulfield Center and talked about, this is what has been proposed, what do we want our response to be as a community, and let's vote on that, let's talk about that, what are the issues, are we missing something? And the leadership that has sprung up among that has been phenomenal. I mean, they're very open to any idea and making sure that that whatever the sector plan ends up being, to whatever power the community has, is as reflective of the community's wishes as possible.
Mm-hmm. And what is the sentiment been since you've been there? I mean, obviously, there's whenever you talk about development, right? There's people who are totally for it or have various ideas about what that looks like, and then you have what I feel like people group into a one category, and that's, you know, for lack of a better term, NIMBYs, or people who are very wary of development. So what have you been seeing in terms of response from the people who are coming to the workshops?
Yeah, I don't. For me politically, like, I never use "not my backyard" NIMBYs as a derogatory term, because that's the way it should be. You know, all politics is local. I mean, people love if there's big issues happen, but if they don't have sidewalks, or if they don't have a way to get their kids to school, or if there's a big pothole right in front of their house that they keep hitting every morning, that's going to be probably more pressing than tax policy. So NIMBYs are what makes communities really, really great. And when you're on the outside looking in, you can definitely see them as more of a negative. But in our area, I would say that the two major concerns are always going to be traffic. Always going to make sure that it's kept a very residential area. We have a bus line that goes through, the number 2 bus goes through there. And we want to make sure that while we have that, it's still kept a residential area where people aren't afraid if their kids walk outside, there's going to be a car rushing by, like, you know, if you live on East West Highway, or so to speak. So one of the first things was that was sort of sparked ire among the community I saw was they wanted to add some cut-throughs between our neighborhoods, specifically my street, so I was part of the NIMBYs that were fighting this, and Brookville Road. And so what it would have meant is right now to get to Brookville Road, where all the commercial areas are, you have to either go over Talbot Street Bridge, which, if you haven't been on it yet, it's the one-lane wooden bridge over the train tracks, or go up this street about, I want to say, a mile or mile and change, and then there's a bridge over there. So there's really no one who lives in the area. You know, the 700 or 800 houses in the 3 or 4 apartment complexes, if they want to get to Brookville, are going anywhere really near my area or Littonsville. And so, you know, that was something that was very worrisome to me personally, but also a lot of my neighbors, because they just didn't want all of a sudden the main and easiest way to get to this commercial area is down our street.
Sure.
Right now, the only traffic that goes down my street are people that live down my street.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you count bikes, because then everyone's going by my house to start the Capitol Crescent Trail.
Not even a quarter mile from.
Oh, I'm on the
Capitol. Oh, I mean that, like, the head of it.
Oh,
Talbot,
yeah.
Talbot Street is
I run, and I'm horrible, so I judge every tenth of a mile, and I'm about a tenth of a mile away from where the signpost is. And it's actually, just real quick sidebar, but there was some county mowing or maintenance going on, and it knocked down the sign that said "Welcome to Littonsville." And the Littonsville community actually started emailing about this, and one of the neighbors got up, put it back in, put mulch around it and flowers. I mean, like, that's the kind of community we live in, that
sure.
They really care about just how it looks and how it it's how it's presented to the rest of the area. Because while there might not be a lot of traffic that goes through, because there's really, it's in the middle of this, you know, on both one side there's really downtown Silver Spring and 16th Street and all this area. On the other side there's Bethesda, and on top of us is Kensington, and then obviously to the south of us is D.C. But there's no, unless you live in that little area, you're not driving through it. So the only people that are really seeing it are bikers, runners, hikers, because, you know, the sign that says Capital Crescent Trail 0.0 miles is less than a tenth of a mile from my house. And you're supposed to go down my street, I mean, past my house. If you see the beige house with the light blue door, that's us.
I feel like you just invited a lot of eggs to your house.
Hopefully I don't say anything bad here that invites that, but
our
community,
Twitter followers will.
Littonsville people will protect me. I have faith in my brethren. But you know, it's you go down that and across this little path, and then you start off with a sign that says Capital Crescent Trail, or I think it may even say Future Capital Crescent Trail, and 0.31 miles. Again, I run, and every tenth of a mile is pain, so I notice it every time, but it's 0.31 miles of into the Capital Crescent Trail, so it's, you know, only in just barely more than half a mile before you're on this 13 and a half mile trail that goes all the way down to Georgetown in D.C., so they really want to make sure they present this community at, you know, in the best way possible, and I think that the neighbors have done a really great job with that.
So you use the Capital Crescent Trail some.
Yes.
And out of all the neighborhoods that I've interviewed so far, yours is going to be, well, I'm downtown Silver Spring, obviously, but yours would probably have the most, the biggest, be impacted the biggest, mm-hmm. the most by the Purple Line.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, I mean, being that you live there, the tracks, you could probably throw a stone to them. So what's your take on that?
So I will say this. The only problem I've ever had with all the maps of the Purple Line is that they always have sections of them, and the section of my house is always on the border of both maps. So it's this idiosyncratic thing for me. I know...
Maps need to be more Abe-centric, generally.
Yes, please. If the planning board is out there, please just provide an Abe map. That'd be great. but I think I've gotten a good idea of kind of how it's going to run. And the good thing is that, you know, where I live, it's not going to create a huge noise problem. We have CSX trains that go by there all the time. You know... So I'm not, you know, I'm not as worried. I don't think anyone who lives in that area is going to hear a train. So in terms of noise pollution, it's not going to be that much worse. I mean, and frankly, you can really tune it out, because the benefit is going to be that right in Littonsville, on Brookville Road, just 3/10 of a mile from my house, there's going to be the Littonsville station. If you haven't been down Brookville. Brookville Road, right by in Littonsville. It's where a Wider Circle is, a wonderful charity that you know, does some amazing work, and I hope everyone, if I can do nothing else, just look them up and volunteer and make a pitch or donate. Walter Reed Annex is there. Down Littonsville a little farther, it's not on Brookville, but is the Sanitation Suburban Services, so there's a lot of governmental buildings there, but there's also right on Brookville you have commercial, but it's not commercial in the way that you think of for Silver Spring with like retail. It's a lot of big construction, concrete. Like if you want your driveway redone, this is where they store a lot of the supplies. Or if you want your kitchens remodeled, or there's a really great hardware store, this really phenomenal hardware store that's only open from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. The guy who is only one employee, and he works there every day, Monday through Friday, for those times. And it's really, it's a contractor's hardware store. I mean, it's great for guys who want to do home improvement if you happen to be there during the day, but, you know, it's just this phenomenal thing. There's also, weirdly, a business called Abe's Networks. So I feel like it was preordained that I live. It's very strange.
Oh, sure. I'm sure you have nothing to do
with
that.
Yeah, yeah. Majority stockholder.
There's also the most delicious secret burger on Brookville Road at Brookville Eatery, which you can only get during business hours.
I think I've been there. That's the little deli place?
Yeah, it's next to El Norteño.
Yep, I've been there for breakfast. I have not been there for lunch, and that is tomorrow's plan. But yeah, I mean, and it's got a phenomenal bike shop. It has just all these great little hidden secrets in there. There's a I wasn't able to do the Silver Spring Zombie Walk this year, but last year I did.
Boo.
And I was very well. I understand. Last year I was very thrilled that I got to go as Abe Lincoln, and I got my beard from the Halloween party store that's right down the street. So I mean, there are some real hidden gems there that I'm hoping both the sector plan, just the fact that there is talk of increasing the number of people that live in this little area, and especially the Purple Line, are going to really draw attention to it. There's also a really great bike shop. It used to be over by right next to the Parkway Deli.
Right.
And then it got too big and moved over to Brookville Road, and you go there and you won't find people that know more about bikes than those folks, and they're phenomenal. So, you know, it's there's a lot you can find in that little area that'll surprise you.
And so with that being said, I mean, I think that most people would say that the Purple Line is a threat to that idea of community to some extent. Change would come, and that would mean redevelopment of some buildings,
yeah,
or what have you, and that could change the face of that road.
So threat is probably the wrong word to use there. Concern or thing that needs to be monitored. So getting back to the sector plan just real quick. One of the other points that's up for discussion and conversations now is density. There's a number of apartment complexes in the area, and the number that I was told was there's roughly about 800 units. And the conversation, what I've been told is that developers and I'm not sure to what extent the planning committee, the planning staff, want to increase that to like 5,600 units, which is, you know, an enormous increase. You're always going to have traffic, you're always going to have safety concerns and traffic concerns and school overcrowding concerns. They just finished the addition onto Rosemary Hills Elementary School. So that's always going to be something that people worry about. And so there's already talk of increasing. I mean, Silver Spring, I think, is just blowing up in general. And
sure.
So anytime you have any free space, people are going to want to just shove apartment buildings or houses there because people want to live where it is. And especially in this area, if you have in Lintonsville, if you can be in that, you know, that one of the best school clusters in the country, it's, you know, it's a great opportunity to raise a family. So it's been this strange battle between those who kind of don't really want. I think it's universally no one wants 5,600 more units. I think that's just too much for the area, and I think a lot of the neighbors would probably agree. We've talked about doubling it, or proposing that instead of going from, you know, 800 to 5,600, that we go from 8 to 16. I think those the numbers are right. And so, you know, that's even, people are a little bit nervous about increasing it by even 800 units. But the Purple Line is definitely going to be a huge draw, because right now for us to get to the metro, it's the 2 bus, which is great, but only runs every half an hour. And if you don't hit it just right, it's kind of about a mile and change walk. And so having the Purple Line there, you can just sit there, grab it to one of the, you know, either Bethesda or Silver Spring and head down the Red Line however you want, or even just to go visit Silver Spring or Bethesda, which
sure.
is great. And so that's, you know, that's always kind of something we need to monitor and make sure that it's done as smartly as possible. You know, I think overall the people are excited with the idea of growth. I think people are excited to an extent that they will have an influx of people, influx of new retail and options within walking distance or even just a quick bike ride. But there is always going to be people who are nervous because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And so the worry that if we do increase, we have no idea what that's going to mean. Is that going to mean all low-income housing that is going to, you know, drive some of the property values down in the area for, you know, or is it going to be units that are very expensive, these kind of luxury units that, you know, have maybe a one bedroom and a den, that all of a sudden you have a lot of couples moving in, like my wife and I a couple of years ago, before we moved in, who don't have any kids, are looking to buy something or looking just to live in some place nice, don't have any kids, and therefore the number of kids in the area goes down, which means we're at risk for being taken out of the BCC cluster. So it's kind of a weird battle going on of people wanting to find that sweet spot. Well, how can we increase density to get all of the retail and all of the benefits that it would entail, to take full advantage of kind of what's happening in Silver Spring as well as what will hopefully happen because of the Purple Line, but not so much that it can have an adverse effect one way or the other. So that's really where the debate has been centered among the community. So it'll be really interesting to see how that goes.
Okay. What about, let's say, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. Purple Line's done. What does Littlesville look like to you?
I hope not much different, but fuller. Fuller in a lot of senses. I'm not a person who wants 5,600 units, but I would love there to be growth of a wide, diverse group of people. Everything, you know, I mean, I want first-time home buyers who, you know, will look at their house as, you know, it's the first time I've ever owned, you know, my own house or my own property, and I really want this neighborhood to be better. You know, I know that I take a lot of pride in keeping the lawn looking good, and my wife and I really work hard to make sure that we're doing our part to contribute to Littlesville. So I really want there to be an influx of people that are first-time home buyers or even upgrading, you know, just starting off a family, because those are the people that are going to kind of be the base of the area. And I want it fuller because I would love to see Brookville taken from, you know, you have to kind of know where you're going. The Secret Burger Place is a perfect example. You have to know where you're going to get what you need to get. And you also have to know what time to go. I'd love there to be some, you know, restaurants that pop up, or some, you know, even just some, I would love the hardware store to stay open a little later. But, I mean, it's not a slight on them. I mean, they're for, they have a specific constituency. And fuller, like lusher with, if you go down two streets from us, Sundale, which is in Rosemary Hills, the area, they have great tree canopy coverage. And Littlesville just doesn't have that as much. It's there, but it's shorter trees and you know, it's just not as full. I mean, I love driving down Sundale Drive because it's just very peaceful and serene with the amount of trees. And, you know, my wife and I have decided we're going to plant one tree a year on our property until it gets too much. But, you know, we both love nature. And if, you know, even if when the Purple Line's complete and they move the Capitol Crescent Trail so that it's complete, it follows the Purple Line completely, we still want there to be, you know, for when people are walking from wherever they live to the Littlesville station, that there, it's just this beautiful, sure, lush walk. And, you know, Littlesville is a really beautiful place. And if you haven't checked it out, I hope you all do. It's wonderful. But that's my hope, is that it's just fuller in kind of every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. If people want to know more about Littlesville and the sector plan, what are the best resources for that?
Well, don't knock on my door, even though I told you where I live. No, I'm happy. If I'm out there, please stop me. But there's the sector staff, the planning staff are absolutely phenomenal. I will say that I've been in meetings where not everyone agrees with them, but that's just because they're just trying to make sure that they're hearing people right, and they always take what we say seriously. So they've actually created I think it's there's a Twitter handle at GreaterLP. Or maybe it's just, no, I'm sorry. It's just at Littonsville. And the title is GreaterLP. So you can tweet them. You can visit the website, the planning board website. If you just type in Greater Littonsville Sector Plan into Google, it should pop up, no problem. They have a website or a section of the website just devoted to the Littonsville plan. It has all the maps. It has at every stage. It has all the notes from the working groups that have taken place, these little breakfast, lunch, and learns or whatever. They're great. And, you know, really when we have meetings, if you want to come and if you don't live in the area, I don't know why, but if you want to come and see what one's like, it's great because it is one of the most diverse groups, areas I've ever lived in. And it's been absolutely wonderful to be here. So I hope people do explore Littonsville a little bit more just because it's not just, the beginning of the Capitol Crescent Trail. It really is a phenomenal area and community.
Sure. How about in terms of other areas, other neighborhoods in Silver Spring, what are some that you feel like people really need to be paying attention to? In terms of development and being aware that there's things moving or, again, from the perspective of development can sometimes happen and people feel disenfranchised when they didn't get to participate.
Yeah.
So where are those places that if they, for some reason, they don't know the development's going on, they need to know about it?
I know, so I don't know the names of areas, so forgive me on that. I think Woodside is probably going through a change. It's right near where the Fenwick or whatever, the new apartment building that just went up.
Second Ave and
Second Ave. Cameron. Thank you. Like that area is, I think, going to become much bigger. I don't have any proof of this. It's just my sense, given the fact that a big apartment, where the old post office was, a new big apartment is there, and it looks like it's very much designed to cater to, younger people, 20s and early 30s. And so I wouldn't be surprised if things pop up around that area.
Octave is going up, which is a new condo.
Yep.
And then there's another redevelopment plan for the Arms, Montgomery Arms or something like that. I can't remember. One or two of those buildings over there.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not privy. I know that the Blairs, kind of sad, the apartment my wife and I lived in when we first got married is no more. We lived in one of the little garden towers. So the Blairs are going to redevelop and build something. I'm not sure how big, but hopefully there's been talk of parks being added there too. So, I think overall Silver Spring is really being seen as no longer kind of just that dirty suburb in Maryland for D.C. It's its own destination, and I think it's growing very rapidly. I moved here... I think now 10 years ago. And when my wife moved here first and when everyone found out where she was living, they were like, "You're moving to Silver Spring? Do you have a death wish? Like, what's wrong with you?" And kind of ironic, but when I went to visit the Blair apartment for the first time, there was an armed robbery. And it was, I was kind of nervous. And I think there was a lot of reputation from people that it is kind of a little bit seedy, and we walked down, my wife and I are walking down with my family last weekend, and it's just it's gorgeous. And so I think that as the downtown area kind of finds its personality, finds out what it wants to be, it's going to just spread, and little suburbs are going to be created around Silver Spring. And so I wouldn't be surprised if any part, any area that kind of touches that's within, bus distance or, short bus ride distance or even bike or walking distance aren't going to be affected in some way. And my civic kind of plea for everyone is stay involved and get involved. And, at every level there's a chance to say something. Something's not going to happen without the government asking if someone from a government agency or organization asking, what do you think about it? And if you don't tell them what you think, it's going to happen. If you're not, there's a famous political phrase, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And so, you know, just make sure that you're getting involved in, because I guarantee in 10 years, it's going to look as different to someone moving here today as Silver Spring looks to me, having lived here for 10 years now.
Cool. And if people want to hear your musings, where would they find it?
I don't know why they would, I'm on Twitter at Abe Saffer, S-A-F-F-E-R, just one word. I've written some incoherent things for Silver Spring Inc. From time to time. I'm usually outside paying too much attention to my lawn than I should, so you can just stop by
it's
and
beautiful.
Stop by and tell me to, you know, hey, maybe you should actually pay attention to your kid. And I say, no, I need to make sure the grass is level.
Great. Well, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. This was great.